AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line.
With a death we'll wish. Get to the Rockets here, but right, didn't have, I just thought about something no I did. I got to ask Sean about whether it's fair or foul. All right, so we're all here till Wednesday, and then because it's radio, we're gonna take the 2 days for Thanksgiving. A lot of you doing the same. Some of you may have already started this week. Then next week, I'm just taking my vacation. I'm going to see my mother. I haven't seen her in a little bit, so I'm going there. I've taken the time mostly because I don't want to pack like toiletries. And she never has, as conscientious as she is, it's always, there's no soap ever, at least in the guest bathroom. She just forgets for whatever reason. So what I did, ordered from Amazon, and instead of carrying my stuff in a bag, I just had a couple things sent there to the home.
Yeah.
And it's waiting for me.
Yeah.
And it can stay there for the next time I'm there. So we don't have to worry about it anymore, and I don't have to worry about maybe lotion spilling or breaking open or soap or whatever becoming an issue. I thought to myself, you know what? What am I doing? Why do I always have to?
I know her address.
Yeah, I can send it there, and it'll be waiting for me. I don't got to pack stuff. I don't have to worry about putting it in the place where it doesn't mess up clothes or anything like that. I don't want to carry travel size things.
Yeah.
Just have it all there. Make a couple trips there a year. It'll last forever.
It will.
And it'll just sit there. And soap doesn't go bad, right? Right.
I don't think so.
I mean,
I've never contemplated it, yeah. But I don't think.
Because
I've never checked the expiration.
I use enough of it as frequently enough so I never have to worry about it. So, you
hand
know, I
soap?
Just.
Does hand soap expire?
I don't think it does, right? It's always going to clean, right?
Oh, well, it's the first thing that pops up.
And I sent the lotion there as well. I think that stays fresh as long as it's not exposed to the elements, I imagine. Just have that waiting. I do have. Ooh, it does expire.
Commercial soaps may last 2 to 3 years.
Ah, that's fine. That's fine.
Hand sanitizer, too.
I just had to. Sometimes you got to work a problem. And you know what? The problem is I'll forget something because I pack late as hell.
That's crazy. I'd never even.
I wouldn't have thought that it would expire. It doesn't have all them chemicals in it that preserves it.
That's part of it. It's because I didn't think this was like a natural.
Naturally occurring thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that comes in a pump bottle.
Yeah, why?
Like, I didn't think that was natural.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, in some cases, people use shea butter. Shea butter's infused lotion's going to go bad. Maybe it does. Maybe the cherry blossom goes bad at some point. Either way, I just decided you got a problem solved. So I sent that.
Hand lotion also expires.
It expires too.
Yeah.
Did not know that. Now I know. I got to let my mom know a delivery's coming, but not for her.
Don't open it.
Yeah. Well, she can open it. It's just not going to be a surprise
for her.
Don't
mess with it, Mom.
Yeah, make sure it's in that guest bathroom when I get there.
Don't open it because I need to make the 2 to 3 years it last.
Yeah. Let's not start the process
early. Give me another week.
Yeah, let's go. So that'll be there on Thursday. You know, sometimes you just got to fix your own problems, and that was going to be a problem for me.
Lotion's 6 to 12 months.
Wow. Well, I'm always out of a bottle quicker than that. Some other people probably don't have to use it as often. It is what it is. All right. It wasn't last night. It was Friday night. Thanks to Amazon and Jeff Bezos for doing what you do.
Yeah, and
for making those deliveries.
Speaking of Amazon, they also not only are they sending you toiletries to your mom's house.
Yeah.
They broadcasted a Rockets Nuggets game.
They did. That's why I had to tie it all in. The basketball game plus my recent orders.
This segment brought to you by Prime.
That's right. I got to watch the Rockets basketball game because I made that decision to get Prime years ago. And it's still paying off.
Look at me.
Continues to pay off. So Rockets Nuggets, very entertaining ball game. Nuggets had leads. Rockets kept fighting back, knocking down jumpers, kept themselves in it, of course, as we all know. The team itself is one that's built on defense and offensive rebounding and having a guy to close. Kevin Durant didn't have a good night. Shot the ball poorly overall, thanks to Jabari knocking down shots. And then Amen knocked down a three late as the Nuggets were playing the free throw game, knocking down their free throws. The Rockets hit threes, and it came down to a last-second heave that, of course, didn't go in, and the Rockets lose. Albert Şengün, the baby Jokic stuff. Maybe we just mentioned that when he's not playing the actual Jokic.
It was a classic case of a Chrysler 300 looks like a Phantom.
Yeah, when a Phantom pulls up.
It was a classic, like, oh, against everyone else.
Yeah.
This looks good.
He wants to do that.
Jokic is like, I know these moves. I
taught you everything you know. Yeah. I didn't teach you everything I know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Jokic, in what you might even consider a quiet night, just because you don't know the numbers are stacking up, goes 34, 10, and 9. Nearly gets a triple-double.
It was a quiet 34, 10,
yeah, 9. Yeah, Peyton Watson, I won't blame him. Actually, the Nuggets overall shot the ball really well, which is something the Rockets can't have. The Nuggets shot the ball over 50% from the field. A quiet 34, 10, and 8, or 9 for Jokic. And Albert Şengün, 14 points on 14 shots. Didn't have a good night. Turned the ball over 4 times. Was a minus 16. Meanwhile, Steven Adams somehow plus 14 in his minutes, because that's what Steven Adams does.
That's what he does. Ask Steven Adams stats on Twitter.
Yeah, He'll let you know. But overall, when they've played the top two teams in the conference, they have, I won't say found ways, but Kevin Durant missed free throws against the Thunder, and then he fouled, of course, Shea. I was not shocked every time the Nuggets got a good shot. As good as the Rockets defense is known to be, the Nuggets have been executing in that way for now half a decade or more. Probably if you go back to the bubble when Jamal Murray first announced that he could be a pretty good player in high leverage situations. Since that point, as long as he's healthy, that two-man game is going to get them good shots. And if Aaron Gordon was there, a guy who left after 4 minutes, now he's going to be out for a while, like 4 to 6 weeks because of a hamstring. You throw him in there, and it feels like they're destined to get good shots. The Rockets knocked down shots, like the Amen three when they left them open, the Jabari three from the corner to keep them in it. But I didn't have that same confidence. Like, there was a stretch from the moment they took the lead, I think with about 6.5 minutes ago, they went up 96-94. And until a putback, I think maybe by Steven Adams, the Rockets weren't getting good shots. And that's something they're going to have to figure out. It is not an indictment of them overall, at least not currently. That's what the season's about, finding a way to consistently create opportunities for themselves when they are getting quality looks. But it's just a difference between a confirmed contender and one who's trying to reach that status.
Yeah, and it's also a team in Denver that's like you said, it's the nucleus of a title team, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, a West Finals team 5 years ago, and they're changing the pieces around it. You know, it's a Tim Hardaway Jr. now. It's I guess Bruce Brown kind of boomerang back in. But, yeah. You know, it is the Peyton Watsons. It's the – and this Rockets team, it's – you know, the main pieces are the ones that are having to work together. And a lot, you know, for some of these guys, it's Alperen Şengün's first year as being like the guy on a team. And, you know, Amen Thompson is now a starting point guard in the NBA. So some of this is just like not your time yet. These old dogs still know a few more tricks than you do. But they do. It's like the full experience. And this is why like when Fred VanVleet went down, my immediate reaction was like, okay, so not this year. not going to be this year, because it just takes a while to, you know, get comfortable in as many guys expanding the roles as have to for this team.
So with 6:22 remaining, Şengün made a bucket, put him up by two. The Rockets didn't make another shot until a Steven Adams put back with 2:53. Now, in the midst of that, there was a block of Kevin Durant by Jamal Murray. Durant missed a jumper. Jabari Smith missed a jumper. Reed Shepard only made 1 of 3 from the line. In a game, they were down 99-96. He missed a couple of free throws after making the first. That would have tied the game. That was big. They didn't make another bucket. And then they put some stuff together. As I mentioned, the Adams tip. And then Amen had a dunk after a turnover by Jokic. But that's almost a four-minute stretch when you don't knock down a shot.
Yeah.
In these type of games, you can't really do that. But credit to them for staying in it. They made shots late. Just wasn't enough. They're always behind. I guess you want to say the eight ball. If you're the NFL, you say behind the chains. They were just always at the Nuggets' mercy at that point, and the Nuggets kind of just closed them out. Jamal Murray made a big layup to go up by four, and that kind of really shut it down. Peyton Watson had a big block on Alper Şengün a little bit later in the game as the Nuggets just, if you want to call it championship execution, you can call it that. I do want to give Reed Shepard some credit outside of missing those two free throws. He had a big night, and David Adelman acknowledged that he's the coach of the Nuggets. He talked about how explosive Reed Shepard is and what that can do for a team. Pretty much said it can help flip a game. But here were his full quotes. I think all teams would love to have a guy like that who at any moment can get hot and flip a game. You have to guard him. He can get hot and hit 5 threes in a quarter. That's what that kid can do. He just adds something. The Nuggets early in the game were like, we're just going to play drop on screens, on pick and roll, and just let Reed Shepard
walk into
threes. And other times they would help off of him and give him open threes in the corner. They fixed some of that late. I guess the scouting report didn't tell them, and then they were reminded of, I don't know. But they adjusted their game plan. But overall, the Reed Shepard last 3 to 4 weeks have been really good. Really since, the first two games of the year or so.
Yeah.
Since that point, he has been, as far as his offensive contribution, shooting the ball, everything the Rockets would want. We'll get into, we'll talk about him as we continue to move along the season, about what he's going to be as a facilitator. But for a guy whose last, or at least his rookie year, didn't go very well, he has certainly responded and giving NBA Twitter, and by NBA Twitter, I mean generally the people who do podcasts and make their living talking about the game online. He has given them a bit of a reprieve because it was looking a little shaky, because a lot of people said he was the best player in that draft. And while he may not have reached that status yet, it's not so out of the realm of possibility like it felt like coming into this year.
Yeah, he beat the Matt Maloney allegations.
I mean, I never called him that. I mean, but yes, if you're talking about diminutive white guys who are supposed to be able to shoot the ball, I guess you want to give him the Matt Maloney thing.
Yeah. Bill Simmons now giving him the Mark Price thing. I would say there's a spot in the middle maybe that he could
One of the better point guards of the 90s and 80s as opposed to
one of the best shooters of all time.
As opposed to one of the more overpaid decisions a franchise has ever made.
Yeah.
There's a wide gap, both between the two. I mean, maybe be better than Ty Jerome when he's healthy, and then we can have a conversation. I mean, I would take that. Ty Jerome was a rotation piece on a playoff team. He could be Ty Jerome this year. That'd be great.
You know, 4 to 5, 6 man, you know, like whether it's like, oh, yeah, he's the fourth guy in our starting lineup or the sixth man on a really good team. Like,
especially
right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, our entire offseason was just like, can he be a sixth man? can he be like the bench point guard? And then Fred VanVleet got
a good result for the next couple of years for Reed Shepard is, man, the Rockets are going to have to pay him some money.
Yeah.
I want it to reach that status.
Under the tax.
Yeah. I mean, Reed Shepard's going to get a big deal.
Şengün, Thompson, or Shepard.
If we get to that point, then we know.
He is certainly
what he was thought to be during his draft class. So they lose. They got the Suns tonight. They will do that without Kevin Durant, he will be unavailable the next two games because of a personal matter. We don't know what it is. Whatever it is, hopefully, if it can be worked out, it is worked out, and we'll see when he comes back. But at a minimum, he's out for two games. That doesn't mean it won't be longer, but they have said it at the next couple. So we'll see when he comes back.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting test to see them, you know, see this team without Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, he has been able to play throughout the season. Injuries have not cropped up and bit him.
His first missed games.
Yeah, so he'll miss some games, not due to injury, and we'll see how they stand. I guess we can get the starting lineup question again. Who do they play without Kevin Durant? They went double bigs.
Double bigs.
Do they throw in a wing, or do they add Reed Shepard to the starting lineup?
Yeah, I think
lineup?
Thompson, Smith, Shepard, Shingun, Adams, right? Unless they play a team that, like, I know they had the Warriors on Friday, so
they're smaller.
Yeah, maybe not against them.
So the Suns, if I go back to
Josh Okogie,
their win over the Spurs.
Welcome back.
Suns are, well, very, very much might be the case. The Suns are 11-6, and they're starting lineup against the Spurs, who didn't have Wimby, so they're a little smaller than normal. Luke Kornet was their starting center. They went with, well, you want to call a small lineup. We can call a small lineup. I would imagine Dylan Brooks was playing the four in this lineup, or maybe Royce O'Neal, because Mark Williams was the only big on the floor, so they're not going to be big tonight. With Jordan Goodwin and Devin Booker, and as I mentioned, the other guys. So maybe they go double big to try to impose their will, which means they'd probably be playing more zone.
Royce O'Neal doesn't really get me out of doing what I want. You know, like, he's not the wing that I'm like, got to get a – it's not exactly Jimmy Butler. You know, it's not exactly that level.
So we may see double bigs and maybe a Kogi gets thrown in there, or maybe Reed Shepard gets inserted because of how well he's shot the ball over – well, it's an extended amount of time right now, but it'll be Rockets, Suns tonight on Peacock. If you don't have Peacock, find a different way to watch it because it's not going to be on Space City Home Network. According to everything I've seen, maybe that's been adjusted since, but what I've seen, it is a Peacock exclusive tonight, Suns versus Rockets, which isn't great for anyone who decided they didn't want to watch all the offerings that Peacock had to offer. Sorry, maybe the Premier League didn't get you there.
No.
Missing out on the Rockets might. That's what Peacock
is hoping
for.
The Rockets, some Poker Face,
which
the
will
Fast
have a
and
new,
Furious movies.
Poker Face will have a new lead.
Yes. It's now, I guess, an anthology. I don't know.
Yes. But there's some thought that it'll be the same character name.
Oh, so just a recast.
Yeah, maybe.
I read that as it'll be like, oh, they're just moving, you know, like, you know, True Detective or something. No, they're just recasting the lead. Okay.
How do you explain another person with these same powers that can be able to just tell when people are lying? You just happen to run into another person?
No, you make it some sort of, you know, CIA experiment gone wrong. Well, there you go, Ryan Johnson. Come on.
Maybe should have built that lore in season one just to set yourself up for this. Peter Dinklage seems to be in line to take over the role.
Okay.
And he will be replacing Natasha Lyonne and taking on the name Charlie Kale, just like she has. It's an androgynous name, I guess. It can be a man or a woman's name. So apparently, Peter Dinklage will be the one being able to tell whether you can lie or whether you're lying or not. Oh, good old Tyrion, if you don't know who that is. Good old Tyrion Lannister.
He could, too. This is second time playing.
He drinks and he knows things.
Yeah.
At least he did know things until he almost cost Danny the war. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We'll get into some college football because we got to admit when we make a mistake. We had a prediction that was wrong. I guess I should have known James Franklin wouldn't do the responsible thing. We'll talk about that when we come back. And also what happened at LSU over the weekend, where this is the problem when you get fired, but you have a kid on a team. You miss out on things. We'll talk about that and some other things around the CFP and CFB when we get back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
So we talked, I don't know if it was Friday at Taco de los Arandas or at another point in the week about coach etiquette when they are the new hire. Normally, when it comes to college football coaches, when they get hired, they show up at the basketball game, hype up the crowd going, we're going to change things, we're going to win here, I'm a winner, so on and so forth.
Because normally they get hired after the football season.
Yes, normally there isn't a football game going on with for the team that they are going to coach.
They didn't get fired in like October and hired in November.
Correct, but it's a new world.
It is a new world.
It's a new world, and James Franklin and Virginia Tech decided to do something new. Like, we have seen coaches in booths at bowl games because their team was good enough to make one, but their record wasn't good enough to keep their job.
Get interviewed, you know, at the whatever, Texas Bowl or whatever. Like, we've seen that before.
I distinctly remember a time where after Randy Shannon got fired, the team, the Canes, are still bowl eligible, so they went to the Sun Bowl and got their doors blown off in the snow by Notre Dame. Or at least it was cold. I don't remember if it was snowing. They made multiple appearances in the Sun Bowl. One, where in the snow, their OC, I think who's at Georgia now, James Coley, not as the OC, but he may have a job someplace, decided to have a halfback pass in the snow.
That's fun.
The game-deciding throw.
Oh, that's the last one.
Yeah, it was. They're in the middle of a comeback, and the quarterback had gotten hot in the snow. And you know what he decided to do?
Take it out of his hand.
Yeah, and give it to the running back. Hey, this will work. No. Oddly enough, the South Florida running back couldn't throw in the snow. Surprisingly enough.
He played high school. He played quarterback in high school.
No, he did not.
Oh.
No, he did not. He's not Malachi Toney.
Also, he played quarterback in high school in South Florida still. Like, he still hasn't thrown a ball.
Like, they go to Pittsburgh this weekend, and they have incorporated Malachi Toney throwing the football. He played high school quarterback as a senior, and I'm still not sure I want to see that in the 30-degree weather they appear to be walking into. James Coley's at A&M. Used to be at Georgia, but he was the OC at Miami and called that. But besides the point. The point was, until I got distracted by Miami's failures, that Al Golden showed up to talk to at the time, it was Danielson and Vern Lundquist. Because it was in December in a bowl game after the season was over, and he was hired. So that makes sense. The coach knew he's going to show up at the bowl game and talk, make the rounds.
Yeah, we're evaluating.
Sure. Look how well that turned out for four and a half, five years. But
it was dressed nice, though.
That tie was ill-fitting, and so was the shirt.
The tie was ill-fitting. It was a really weird.
And you're in 90-degree weather in South Florida.
That also.
Who could have predicted
that's part of the reason it's funny.
Who could have predicted he'd be a sweaty mess?
Sweating like a dog.
Yes.
But
I don't see him wearing a
tie. Gotta look classy.
I don't see him wearing a tie when he's coaching at Notre Dame or now at Cincinnati. But James Franklin showed up at the Virginia Tech-Miami game, and not only did he do the whole thing with Bob with shoes in and Lewis Riddick up in the booth, he did like a pep rally at halftime. He's on the field with the mic in his hand, talking to all the Virginia Tech people in the stands.
The one thing we're like, probably that won't
happen.
We
knew, at least we assumed he'd be in the booth. That's what happened.
In the booth, maybe shown on the Jumbotron, like waving.
Yeah, with his family. Yeah. Look at the nice Franklin family as he's about to take over Virginia Tech. No. He went on the field, took the mic.
Give me the mic.
And decided to start the messaging. To your point, today, it's a new era. Timing's different. So that can happen. I just didn't think it would. But still, back on Friday, we said that the team and some of the players you're going to have to coach next season are in there fighting for their, at least for the day, against a team they're outmatched against. And the old coaching staff's in there trying to tell them to how they're going to adjust and stay in the game. They're down 20-3 at the time. I don't know if that was the time while your team is getting their heads caved in at 20-3.
Because it's easier when it's a basketball game because it's not like literally like we have the score of what the team, you know, like we know what the team is doing right this second. And he's like, trust me, guys, give me, you know, 8-9 more months and it'll be a new era of
yeah.
And even then it'll you know, if they go whatever 6-6 year one, hey, we're building things. You know, it's like, it's such a, like, get excited because maybe this time next year you'll be talking yourselves into how we can compete in the ACC in 2027. Thank you, Hokie fans. Go Hokies! You know, whatever they yell at each other. And it's way different than, you know, at a basketball game, just being like, I'm so excited. Such a great community has welcomed us with open arms. Not just me, but my family as well. And yeah, you just keep it moving like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the video someone shot from the crowd. The band's out there about to start their performance, whatever.
And he's like, hold on.
Like the specialists are out there? Like the Virginia Tech specialists, like the kicker, the holder, the punter out there? Like, they're by the kicking net?
Kicker's like, I got to make these kicks. And then
no, they're not even on the field because the band's out there. They're just standing by their kicking net.
I thought they were like
watching the show. As James Franklin's being introduced.
Kicker has a cold sweat being like, oh my God, my scholarship hangs in the balance.
It did keep the people in the stands. No one went to the concession stand. For all the people who showed up, they stayed to hear their new head coach.
I might have. If I was at the game, I might have gone to those concessions.
You've heard one. I've new heard coach speech. You've heard them all.
And I'll literally hear it as I'm, you know,
yeah, I'm sure
in line for nachos. Like they have the TVs there.
Yeah, I don't know how great the sound system is, but I'm sure you'll probably, when you're getting your nachos or your hot dog, I'm sure you can hear James Franklin tell everyone we're
actually
home.
That's when to go. Everyone else is sitting there.
It's true. If you're hungry,
leaning in, waiting to hear what James Franklin wants a you know, relentless attacking defense and a multiple offense or whatever, like whatever the cliches are.
We're going to be fast. We're going to be physical.
Smart.
We're going to make you proud, so on and so forth. Everything that gets said, yeah. Hey, we're going to be the hardest working team and so on and so forth.
My favorite is an attacking defense. Like, no one's like, listen, we're going to sit back, keep everything in front of us, bend, don't break. Like, that's how teams actually play.
Yeah, when you're outmatched and you can't hold up, you try to keep everything in front of you.
Try to get some turnovers.
And hope for a mistake.
try to break serve. That's
good,
what we're doing.
Be good inside the 20. Let them do whatever they want between the 20s and then make a play when it counts, when the field is condensed. So there it is. Yeah. James Franklin proved us wrong, but...
Not yet. Oh, well... In one way.
Yeah. He's never proved us wrong when it comes to us questioning his ability to win big games.
Big allegations. He's not.
But as far as our thought that he wouldn't show up at halftime, he did it. Yeah. The other thing that caught my eye, besides Utah surviving, whoa, they gave up lots of yards on the ground. We'll see.
Old school Big 12.
Yeah. It just
warmed my heart.
Except it was all running as opposed to throwing the football. We'll see. Utah has a schedule that's bolstered by losing the good football teams. Mm-hmm. We'll see if the CFP committee looks down on them nearly losing to K-State.
I'll say the CFP committee does value close losses.
To K-State, they value close losses?
Depending on who...
Who's losing.
Depending on what helmet you wear.
It's true. I don't know that Utah has some nice helmets. Sometimes they're hand-painted.
They look pretty sharp on Saturday.
I don't know if the Utah helmet affords the same type of...
It's not quite...
grace that Notre Dame's helmet does.
Yeah.
Notre Dame 70-7 over Syracuse. Fran Brown has been telling everyone, he's the head coach of Syracuse. He's been telling people next year's the year. We're going to be back. Well, oof.
Better hope so.
Yeah.
Better hope so.
70-7, man. I
didn't know someone could be a Kyle McCord merchant, but yeah. I didn't know that it was, this guy's only good because of Kyle McCord.
I believe Notre Dame scored 3 touchdowns before their offense touched the field.
Yes. And then on the second play of their offensive
drive, Jeremiah Love ran it for a touchdown.
Jeremiah Love had 200 yards and 8 carries.
It was 28 to nothing, and Notre Dame had run 2 offensive plays. A pick 6, a return on a punt, and then another pick 6. Because Fran Brown decided, after Steve Angeli got hurt, which isn't his fault, but he went between Ricky Collins, and then he decided to put the lacrosse player who plays quarterback sometimes out there, and that was the... That was the result. That wasn't the other thing that was funny. That just happened to pop into my mind.
And it also was funny.
It was funny to see a score of 28-0 and the team who was up had only run 2 offensive plays. That was funny. So Fran Brown's misery is great for me, considering what he did to my team last year. But bygones.
It doesn't sound like it.
Not really. Going to remember that forever. And it's more Chris Ball's fault than his fault, but I'm done.
He was at the scene of the crime.
Yeah, he was there. He was an accomplice, I would say that. Kyle McCord as well. What happened at LSU where Brian Kelly, because this is what college coaches do now, as long as my kid has played a down of football in high school, I'll put him on my team. Because as you get older, you kind of get that type of leeway. Not that was it Kinzel or Krenzel Kelly? Not that that kid had, not that he was taking a scholarship away from somebody, but he was on the team, and it was senior day. So he went out there, but his dad couldn't be out there. That's what normally happens.
Why not?
I don't really need to explain it, but I guess I will. Like, you know, we were giving away Cougar tickets all week last week. The Cougs, unfortunately, lost to TCU. Field goal kicker missed a couple kicks. But it was senior day. That was part of the sell. You want to see all the seniors go out there, and they meet their family, and they hug the coach and all the things. Hey, great, great time at the University of Houston, even if you just spent the year there because you're transfer. Either way, it's a new era. But you get to meet, you get to see them, hug the family, get flowers, all that stuff. Not for Brian Kelly's kid. And why? Partly because his dad and the university are in litigation.
Oh, yeah.
Also because you don't want a kid getting booed because his dad is the ex-head coach. So you just want to avoid it all. But that's what senior day is for. And a lesson to anyone coaching at a high-profile program. Be Dabo and have like a couple of national titles, and you want to start running your kids out through the program because when their senior day happens, you still got a job.
Yep.
So you don't have to worry about it. But if you're like in your mid-30s at a new school and you haven't accomplished very much, although you probably wouldn't have a high school age kid going to college, but whatever. Maybe you had a kid early, whatever. Let's just say wait till you do something before you start running your kids out onto on the team, because this could happen to you where you get fired and then you can't even be on the field for your kid's senior day.
I have a question.
All right.
Why was his mom not allowed to be there?
I guess they just didn't want any connection with the Kellys.
But the kid is there. The kid has Kelly written on the back of his jersey.
He even did BK. I forgot. He did
he
a couple.
Free BK.
Free BK. He did a couple things.
He had it written on the undershirt under his jersey.
He did a couple things to acknowledge.
He's incarcerated.
Brian Kelly's coming home in a month, I guess. Just put stuff in the commissary for him. But I don't know why his mom couldn't be there. I guess he just ran out to a coach or two and they just dapped him up.
He ran out by himself. I saw the video. It was
awkward as hell. Funny but awkward.
It was funny.
Yeah,
awkward. Funny. Because Kinzel Kelly? Krenzel?
Something like that. I don't.
The Kelly kid was.
Kinzel Kelly, yes.
Kinzel Kelly. Was really playing it up.
He was leaning
in. He was like, this is my moment. Because I'll be honest.
Who knows? I had no idea
Brian Kelly had a college-aged kid.
Same.
I would have assumed, like, what do you think Brian Kelly's son does, I would say.
A GA? Like,
yeah, linebacker's coach.
Sure. That's the way of it, right? Just give him a job.
Yeah, I don't know.
So he's dapping up the Weeks family. Weekses. Dapping up the Weeks family. Was Lane Kiffin's daughter there? Don't know. There was a bye week.
I'll check the private.
She may be there permanently at some point. If we believe that LSU is going to hire. Yeah, I don't see. I see him doing the free BK thing. I see the shirt BK initials
again, like he's a soccer player.
Yeah,
who scored a goal.
There are people behind him who I assume are family, like maybe a sister.
Okay,
maybe a mother. I can't see her.
But
face.
No one walked out with them.
Well,
I guess different schools do it differently.
Yeah. I'm looking at it, and all the players don't have their family with them. They run out there with a flower and a ball, and they give it to a family member. That's what they do at LSU. I think his mom was there.
Okay.
Someone was there to meet him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think his mom was there. So he did get that.
That's good.
He just didn't get his dad there. You know, the guy who put him on the team.
Yeah, and, you know, really, if they were like, I don't know, 3 games better this year, probably would have been there.
Yeah.
Probably would have been a great moment. And then he gets fired, you know, a week from today. But that would have been fine because he would have had the moment. They really should have thought that. LSU really should have thought about that.
Well, it appeared they're doing this haphazardly. They're like, wait a minute, you won't discuss a real buyout with us? Well, we got to fire you with cause now. We got to find a reason. I don't think they thought a lot about this.
I don't know. I think Jeff Landry runs a tight ship.
Well, he's supposed to not have that much to do with it. He's the governor, not the president of LSU, but they've got a power vacuum there, so he's involved.
Weird situation.
Yeah, so they just assumed Brian Kelly would do, I guess, what they felt was the honorable thing and discuss a buyout with them. And he's like, you know how much money you owe me? Maybe Franklin will do that.
Honorable.
But not me. Give me all my money. So they're still dealing with that.
Small thing about Kinzel Kelly, and then we're done. I think it's a little weird that he kept calling his dad BK.
you know, it is odd. Maybe that's how he's addressed around the program.
I guess, yes, it is. But I guess that's weird. Why he can't call, I know why he can't call him dad, at, you know, during practice.
Yeah.
But it's weird that he's like, free BK. I had to put the connection. I was like, oh, that's his son. I thought it was just a loud supporter of Brian Kelly, of which there are a few.
Maybe Kenzel Kelly has been listening to too much trap music, and now he's calling his dad BK. I don't know why he did it, why he just didn't say free my dad or whatever, since you're talking Coach to a Kelly. Camera or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Free BK.
Burger King? Oh.
What's he doing? Now that you bring that up, what the hell is he doing?
And it's weird. Like, imagine calling your dad by, like, his initials or his nickname. I guess if your dad has a nickname, like, I don't know, Trey or something, but whatever. But, like, imagine, like...
I wouldn't. I can't imagine because I wouldn't do it.
That'd be insane. It's an insane thing to do.
But he did it. Sorry. It's like what Chief Keef would call one of his boys.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But he's doing it. Whatever. Maybe him and his dad. Well, him and his dad have an interesting
relationship. They definitely have a different relationship than me and my dad.
I would never address my dad by his initials.
My dad never gave me a job. So, actually, no, wait. That's a lie. But never a high profile.
I'm trying to think of my...
Never nepotistic.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can say with a full heart, my dad never gave me a job. He never made me an aerospace engineer at any point. That's why I'm here. Beyond
that'd be great if, like, every job worked like a football team where it's like my son can just do this. And it's like all the other aerospace engineers are like, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Dabo made his kids like
holders,
like, which is pretty important.
Crucial. Ask Notre Dame if having a holder is important.
So I guess the equivalent wouldn't be aerospace engineer. As far as, hey, I'm on the crew that helps the space shuttle get into
orbit.
Yeah,
you're on the NASA floor somewhere. Yeah, like with the headsets on where they all throw their papers up when they do good. You're like whatever the like nepo baby job is for that, which I hope there is none.
I would pray, yes.
But if there was one, that'd be funny. It's just like there's just a wing of
is the guy who does the countdown equivalent to the holder. On a college football team?
That's what whatever Eric Belichick or whatever that guy's name is does. I forgot.
There are multiple Belichicks.
I forgot what the defensive coordinator was. Steve Belichick. That's what Steve Belichick is. That's his job. That's what Kirk Ferentz's kid does instead.
I got to do this in a break because we got to go. I got to hope or at least figure out that the guy.
You hope to get the astronaut in his.
Or woman who does the countdown. That's not their only job, right? They gotta do other stuff.
One
right?
other responsibility.
Yeah, I would imagine it's more than just counting down till ignition.
No, there's no way that guy gets like healthcare because he can count down.
Yeah. That's why I assume there's another job.
I'm saying he gets like a full salary. It's a government job, so you get pension. Like, and then it's like, so what did you do? Well, you know, like four times a year when we send stuff up in space. I do the countdown.
I think they're titled the launch director.
Oh.
Maybe.
I feel like you can also like, all right, ready to launch, and then you have a button, and then it's just recorded. It's 10, less, 9, less, 8, like, because that part's very easy to record.
It's less dramatic, though.
Oh, is it?
And launch director is a big job, and I don't think they're the one doing the counting. I got to figure this out. All right, we'll go to break with that. Maybe I'll have an answer when we come back.
If you work for NASA, please let us know.
We're in the city that people would have like, an answer for that. Yeah.
If anyone would know.
If you know what the person who does the countdown for space flights does beyond that, let us know. All right, we'll go to break with that. But before we do that, I want to talk about the great people at Monument Chevrolet. And I say the great people for a reason. Because when you've been doing what they've done for 50 years plus now, that means you have been great at what you do. And the people who you service, as far as the community is concerned, come back and they keep coming back. And once you step onto the lot, they're going to treat you like family. So find the car you want at MonumentChevrolet.com, whether it be an EV vehicle or maybe you're looking for a Silverado 1500. See the deal you want, the make and model you want, and then head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And it's not just their new Chevys. If you're looking for something pre-owned, they have those for you too. And maybe you're a business owner. maybe you're starting a business or you have one that's already up and going and you need something to add to your fleet, they will help you out there. So pre-owned, fleet vehicles, new vehicles, it's all there for you. And then the best part about them is they don't trick you. Once you see the price that you want on the website, it's not going to change when you get out there. There are no hidden fees, no upcharges. The price is the price, and the people will get you into the car as quickly as possible. They understand. Car buying can be a little tricky for people. Some people don't want to be out there for a while. It's a no-pressure situation. They're friendly. They'll get you into a great car and get you off the lot as quickly as you'd like. So the website, one more time, monumentchevrolet.com. Find a vehicle of your choice, and then make that choice out in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. It's Monument Chevrolet. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Now back to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Not that I can trust AI Overview, but they, or it, also says the verbal countdown's done for dramatic reasons.
So it's just in, like, movies and when they know that...
No, they actually do it in real life.
Oh, just so, like...
To build up the drama of it all.
That's very funny.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what AI Overview
This very says. High-stakes thing that we're doing, where we conquer... We've conquered Earth and now look to the stars. Let's add a little... A little pizzazz to it. Let's put on a show. Hey, that's a very American thing.
It is. I can't find the official title for the person who does that. But
it's people in the zone.
But either way, it's a very complicated process. But once we get down to it, we're doing that verbally to get people ramped up.
It's like playing Inner Sandman. It's like,
yeah,
for Virginia Tech. It's like, oh, okay, this is real. We're really doing it.
It gets people going.
It does get people.
I watched that on Saturday. Got the people going, even for a bad football team.
Does it? Yeah. No, not Inner Sandman. I know that. But I was thinking, would they do it all the time or just the televised ones? But I guess they do it all the time.
Well, they record everything. And I was watching something on the NASA website.
Okay.
So they have a video of a launch of 2023. And I don't know that was on television, but
I feel some of the lower stakes ones, they can start at 5.
What's a lower stakes space launch?
Unmanned.
They count them down when people aren't in them.
Okay.
Some news regarding the world of sports, if we want to get back to that. Chauncey Billups pled not guilty. He goes, I did not do it. He pled not guilty to charges of profiting from rigged poker games involving several mafia figures. And he's a man of integrity, according to Chris Haywood, which is his attorney.
Okay.
He's denying the charges. Here's the quote. To believe that Chauncey Billups did what the federal government is accusing him of is to believe that he would risk his Hall of Fame legacy, his reputation, and his freedom. He would not jeopardize those for anything, let alone a card game. Now, do I believe if he is to be, maybe not found guilty, but if he is to be someone who did this, do I believe it's simply because of a card game? No. If we're just being honest, if he did it, it's because there are some other things that led to this. I don't think Chauncey Billups just got contact and was like, you know what?
Woke up one day.
And just want to just...
Hey, my card buddies want to make some money on the NBA.
Do I believe Chauncey Billups decided one day I want to be the face, as they called him, the face card of this thing to convince people to be part of it? No. If we're dealing with the mob or the mafia, I would be under the belief they had something on him. And that's why he got involved. But I don't know that. But
I don't know.
But if it is found that he did this... No, I don't believe he just did it because he wanted to.
No, for a card game. Threw it all away for a card game.
Yeah. Look, I know you got to be...
He lost a game of cards, and so then he was like, you know, we're not going to play Damian Lillard tonight, or whatever.
Well, that's another part of the investigation. This one is just about the cards.
Oh, this is just about the cards.
This is just about the cards.
Oh, okay.
So there
this
it is.
This is just about the, like, the sunglasses that can, like, see... Whatever, infrared or whatever to not infrared,
yes,
I guess.
And he's being accused of knowing all the things they were doing to take people's money. And he just happened to be someone being used, or he volunteered to be used to be the guy who gave this some legitimacy. Look, Chauncey Billups is here. Nothing bad can happen. This is former NBA star and current head coach of the Blazers, Chauncey Billups.
This is a poker game. It has NBA players. It's on the up and up.
Well, so at least one of the defendants has said not guilty. And
okay.
We'll see where we go from there. I do like how they have to show and talk about his description. Do I care that he was wearing a dark gray suit? Not particularly, but that's in the article too.
I think if it's not a suit, I would care. But like if it's like dark gray versus
I don't care
light
color.
Blue.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Doesn't really.
Just know that Chauncey Billups is taking this very seriously.
Yeah.
He wore a suit during his brief arraignment.
I wonder if someone's gonna flip on the card game.
Mafia is involved. I'm not sure how well that goes for you if you do.
Just hey, they got witness protection, right?
Yes, federal protection. Yes, yeah. I guess.
Damon Jones lives in
New Mexico.
New Mexico somewhere. He's working at a Cinnabon. Like, come on.
I don't know if you can do that as Chauncey Billups.
Hey, Mr. Big Shot. No. You got me confused with someone else.
That's the problem. While Chauncey Billups isn't a giant when it comes to other NBA players, he's like 6'4", 6'5". He's going to be
and
noticeable.
It's like Chauncey Billups.
And Chauncey Billups. Like, even as someone who may not have known Chauncey Billups in the 90s and in the early aughts, 2000s, he's still going to be some 6'5 dude rolling around. So that is someone who's very noticeable. I don't know how you put an NBA player in witness protection, honestly. Too noticeable. Think about it. Even if you remove we know him because we watch basketball, you're supposed to be inconspicuous.
There's also a level of like how many people – like it has to be so remote where he goes to where there's not one person who is like Chauncey Billups. You know, like it has to be zero people know who you are.
And at least someone is going to know Mr. Big Shot.
Mr. Big Shot.
You put him in
– if not for being Mr. Big Shot – I mean, it's probably one of these punk kids knowing him for being the NBA coach who got federally indicted.
It's tough.
Like, at the very least, he was a coach. Like, so,
I just don't know.
What, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't know how flipping on your alleged co-conspirators is going to help Chauncey Billups. If they promise him witness protection.
Someone always does.
I'm not saying someone won't, but Chauncey Billups, as far as he's concerned.
Probably not Chauncey Billups.
The, hey, we're going to protect you and put you in witness protection. Good luck.
I like the idea of Terry Rozier. I guess he wasn't involved with this stuff.
No, he wasn't involved with the poker. He was involved in other things that may lead him.
Just Terry Rozier and witness protection.
He's only 6'1", though. So
yeah. Is that a throat tattoo?
It might be easier for him. But he does have some distinctive tattoos. Yes, he does. So good luck to all those involved.
Good luck.
Whatever happens, happens.
On both sides. The prosecution and the defense.
Sure. If you want to do that, sure. If you want to be one of those people, sure. Good people on both sides.
There are.
I don't know any of those people.
Mafia, I'm sure they got families.
They do.
They actually have families.
Actually, I don't know if it's the Italian. Yeah, I guess it is the Italians. The Italian mafia is involved in this one.
Yeah, four of the five.
The fifth one's like, we're going to sit this one out. Then seems like someone's going to crack, and now we're involved.
This interpreter that's playing a lot of cards that we're dealing with instead.
I do want to.
Says he knows Otani.
I do find it interesting that four of the five families were involved. Have been named.
Is it like the scene in The Godfather where they're like, gambling, that's dirty business?
You mean the scene in The Godfather where they say drugs, but not in these communities, but in those are fine. Let them, and they use slurs you might have heard on Sunday or yesterday during the Cowboys game. I'm not sure.
I'm talking about that scene in The Godfather.
Yeah, that one. I don't know if gambling is considered a dirty business so much so that they wouldn't get involved.
Okay.
I don't know what the thought process is for the family who decided not us.
I would like a 60 minutes interview with
I'm sure we'll get
sitting
one.
Down explaining why.
I'm sure we'll get a Dateline if that show even still exists or a 60 minutes on this at some point. But the latest is Chauncey Billups is professing his innocence and the agent is using, why would he ever do this?
It's ridiculous to do that. He's doing the Lane Kiffin defense. He's doing the Lane Kiffin of, wait, people are saying I won't coach the Egg Bowl. Why would I not coach the Egg Bowl? How would that even happen?
There are ways, Lane.
Lane, I don't know if you kept up with the news.
There are ways.
When's the last time you talked to Jimmy Sexton?
That's one of the ways. So,
but Lane Kiffin is coaching the Egg Bowl.
His decision will come after the Egg Bowl.
He is coaching at least until the Egg Bowl.
Well, I wouldn't even say decision. His announcement of a decision will come after the Egg Bowl.
But they have agreed that his contract will not be extended. They haven't agreed that it will be extended.
They would like it to be the case, but he won't agree to that.
Continue his duties as a coach until Friday.
And then he'll let it be known
after that
what his status is.
It's in God's
hands. We've talked about it. This is an odd thing.
It's an odd way to say that you're staying.
It's not how this normally goes, but it does feel like his last game as an Ole Miss coach will be the Egg Bowl, win or lose. Looks like Lane Kiffin is maybe going to Florida or LSU. Just depends on which one he wants to take. We didn't mention this. Chip Kelly fired. He got out of college football because he'd rather just call plays. Now he doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah. Could have taken the Texans job.
True. We thought that was
probably would be
up in the air.
If not winning the division, pretty close.
I don't know. Have you seen what he's doing with the Vegas Raiders? I'm not sure the Texans aren't better off if we saw what he's put together in Las Vegas. Geno, whatever. You want to blame Geno, whatever. But it's not like...
I kind of want to blame
Geno. It's not like the Texans have a great offensive cachet of weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Geno has...
Bowers, Collins.
Yeah, I mean, there are dudes over there. Chip Kelly was not good. Maybe we're better off with Nick Caley.
He just has to coach a team with more talent than everybody.
Yeah,
and then even then, they will lose to Michigan and win the national championship.
He had a game plan of trying to run it down Michigan's throat with all those receivers. Didn't he have a Mecca Buka last year? Oh, and he decided still, I'm going to try to run it down.
Jeremiah Smith.
I'm going to run it at Michigan. I'm going to run it at Michigan strength. And you still think you'd rather have him than Nick Caley?
A-gap. Right at Kenneth Grant.
Yeah. And Mason Graham.
And Mason Graham.
Michigan strength.
Top 15 picks.
We got these three receivers who eventually will be drafted very high. But no, we won't do the thing where we throw it to them. But, you know, he did coordinate an offense that won a national title. But out of a job in Las Vegas. We're done. Rich Eisen is up next. But because we're done for the day, what does that mean, Sean?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you're 6-5. We're good. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
If you're an RIA, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.